Exodus chapter 4 is where we are. If you're new here, we normally spend our time walking verse by verse through books of the Bible, and so right now we're in the book of Exodus. We started the 1st of October, and we're already through three chapters. So see, well, I mean, we'll be done before the end of next year, probably. So you just roll right through this little book here. And Daryl did a great job of explaining this burning bush scene in chapter 3 where God is speaking to Moses through a bush that is burning but not being consumed, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. And in chapter 3, he tells him, God, here I am, I'm here. And then God's going to tell Moses, hey, I'm going to send you. You're going to be my mouthpiece for the people of Israel. You're going to go to Israel, and you're going to go to Pharaoh, and you're going to tell him that my people need to go from that land so they can go come and worship me. And he's not going to let you do it, but you're going to go and be my representative. And Moses immediately starts making excuses, okay? So God tells him, hey, I want you to go as my mouthpiece to speak my word to my people and to Pharaoh. And he immediately starts making excuses, which is a lot like you and I, okay? In chapter 3, Moses gives a couple of excuses as to why he's not going to do that. The first one he says in verse 11 in chapter 3, he says, God, I'm a nobody. Who am I to represent you before the people? And God says, you're right, you're nobody, but I'm going to be with you, and you're going to go under my authority. And then later on in verse 13, he says, God, I don't even know what to say. What am I going to say? God tells them, here's what you're going to say. You're going to tell them that Yahweh, I am, has sent you to do these things. And then, and really here in chapter 4, we pick up some more of Moses' excuses. Now, why does that matter for us? Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians 10, these verses here that I want to remind you of why we're studying Exodus and what we need to see when we see these things in Moses and in the people there, what do we need to be learning from this? And in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 12 explains to us how these people and the story of the people of Israel in the Exodus is an example to us as a church. This is the very end of that, but I would encourage you to read the 10 verses above it. It says, now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for what? For our instruction. This is for us, for our instruction, on whom the end of the age has come. Therefore, let anyone thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall. These are examples for us. Moses is the man that God uses, and God uses Moses in some extremely huge ways in the life of the people of Israel there in Egypt. But Moses isn't perfect, okay? He's not perfect. He doesn't do it all right all the time. And there's an example for us. There's instruction for you and for me when we see this. And we think about as ministers of reconciliation, as people that God is sending out into Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and Northport, and Cottondale, and Nepal, and Bangladesh, or wherever the Lord sends us, as ministers of reconciliation and mouthpieces of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can learn from these excuses that Moses gives, and we can see in him why he says these things, and hopefully the Lord will use that to reveal in us some of our lack of faith and lack of trust in him as well. So that's what I want us to do today as we look at verses 1 through 17 of Exodus 4. So, and if you like to fill in blanks and you grab one of these coming in, you can grab that. We'll walk through these things together. We're going to kind of take it as three sections, 1 through 9, 10 through 12, and 13 through 17. All right, let's go. So, again, no, he's in the middle of excuse giving, okay? God is telling him these things. He is giving excuses. We're just kind of picking up in the middle of that thing going on. And then Moses answers God and says, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. So this is excuse number three there. They won't believe. Okay? God is telling him, you're going to go be my mouthpiece. You're going to go to my people, and you're going to go to Pharaoh, and you're going to tell them these things. And excuse number one was that that I'm nobody. And excuse number two was, I don't know what to say. Excuse number three is, they won't believe me. They're not going to believe what I have to say. Even though literally in chapter 3, verse 18. I want you to read that real quick, and we're going to keep reading this. But chapter 3, verse 18. This is God speaking to Moses. And remember, too, in the Bible, we have these chapter and verse numbers in the Bible, but those were added much later. This is just one long story. It's not like God is giving them the book of Exodus chapter 3, verse 18. That's not how it went. It was just a narrative story. And we added these verse and chapter numbers later, kind of like an address so we know where to go and find it, okay? And so this is literally just before this, as God is talking to Moses. He says, this is what God tells Moses, and they will listen to your voice, okay? You and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us, and now please let us go on a 3 days journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord your God. So God has just literally just said to Moses, you're going to go and they're going to listen to your voice. Chapter 4, verse 1, what does Moses say? They're not going to listen to me. All right? And you know, God's like, Moses, I literally just told you, literally just said they're going to listen to you. He's like, no, they're not going to listen to me. They're not going to listen to me. Excuses, okay? Excuses. And it reveals, this excuse of Moses, it reveals his lack of faith in God. It reveals his lack of trust in God's word. Because what Moses says right here is 100% in opposition to what God has just told him. Does that sound like anybody you know? God tells you, God tells me how he wants us to live and act and preach the gospel in this world. And we're like, God, they're not, who am I? They're not going to listen to me. They're not going to listen to what I have to say. God's gracious to him. And verse 2, the Lord says to him, what's that in your hand, Moses? And he says, a staff. And God tells him to throw it on the ground. And so he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it, which is awesome, okay? Just like you would. I mean, you imagine this moment that he's got this stick in his hand, and he throws it on the ground, and it becomes a snake. So naturally what he does is he runs from it, right? Because the only good snake is a? Yes, okay? In case you didn't know that, right? So he takes a stick. He throws it on the ground, and he runs from it, okay? And God's like, hey, Moses, verse 4, put your hand out and catch it by the tail. And you know, he's like, are you sure? I don't know if I want to do that, even though I just threw it on the ground, it was a stick, now it's not a stick anymore. So he put his hand out, and he caught it, probably very reluctantly, as I would have, and it became a staff in his hand. Look what God says. The Lord said to him, put out your hand and catch him by the tail. So he does it. And then verse 5, and I would underline this if you have your Bible. Man, I would underline this. That they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. This is why. The purpose of the miraculous work of God there is that they may believe in who God is. Okay? And we don't have time for this, but God still does miraculous things today. I believe that he still does miraculous gifts and miraculous healings. God does all kind of miraculous things today. But hear me. The miraculous thing that God does in Moses' day here and in today now is for the exaltation of God, not the exaltation of the messenger. So if you see someone claiming miraculous things and their goal is that you would make much of them, run. The goal of this, the goal of the miraculous work that God does with the snake and what he's going to do with his hand and leprosy is the exaltation of God, that people would believe in who God is, not to give authority to the man that is doing nothing but being the messenger. Be really, really, really careful with that. Verse 6, again, the Lord says to him, put your hand inside your cloak. And he puts it inside the cloak, and he took it out, and behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And then God said, put your hand back inside your cloak. So he put his hand back inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, it was restored again. Can you imagine how many times would you have done that? I mean, I would have been like, like you were magical, you know, I mean, it was just, what? I mean, anyway, Moses probably wasn't as edgy as I am, but that is amazing to me. He's throwing sticks down. There's coming snakes. He's picking them up. Probably the second time he throws a stick down, he's less scared, right? I mean, he's like, oh, this is going to be easy. I'm going to pick it up. It's going to be. But this too, like first time, he's like, oh my gosh. And then it's awesome. Anyway, I don't know. It's amazing to me. Verse 8, God says, and you know what? If they don't believe you, God said, or if they don't listen to the first sign, or they don't believe the latter sign, if they will not believe either of these two signs and listen to your voice, then you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on dry ground, and the water that you take from the Nile shall become blood on the dry ground. Okay? These miraculous things that he's doing. The stick to a snake to a stick, hand, leprosy, not. Water out of the Nile, pour it on the dry ground, make it blood. All of those things. Don't miss verse 5. The goal of those things is verse 5. And so many times we read past that, we read over that, and we don't see that he's doing these things that they may believe in the Lord your God. The Lord, the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, has appeared to you. The goal is that they would believe in who God is and what God is doing. The miraculous signs God gives to Moses here, they are proof of the power of God. And I would say they're proof of the power of God. First to Moses, then to the people, right? And so you would think Moses has just thrown a stick on the ground. It becomes a snake. He picks it back up. It's a stick again. He takes his hand, puts it in his cloak. Comes out. It's got leprosy. Back in, a knot. Back in, back out. Back in, back out. He pours water on dry ground, and it becomes blood. You would imagine that Moses' response at that point would be, "You're right, God. My bad. I'm in, okay? I'm going to do the stick thing. I'm going to do the leprosy thing. I'm going to pour the water out. We're good. I'm in now." Not his response, though. Look at verse 10. But Moses says to the Lord, "My Lord, I'm not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue." He gives him another excuse here. Fourth excuse that he's going to give is, "I'm not a real good speaker, God. God, I'm not a real good speaker. I ain't real good at speaking. You know, I mean, I believe you and everything, but we probably should leave that to somebody else. Professional Christian, you know. I'm not real good at speaking." And notice the accusation that Moses makes against God here. He says, "I wasn't good before, and even now, since you've been calling this, I'm still not any good. You hadn't made me any better. I mean, I'm not real eloquent of speech. I don't really have it all together. Maybe Moses has a stutter, something going on there. But I'm not real good at speaking, God. So I'm probably not the guy for this." And I love the Lord's response to him in verse 10. And the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." I love that. That Moses says, "God, I'm not a real good speaker." And God says, I know you're not a good speaker. I made your mouth. I put that tongue in your mouth. That stutter you've got, that's not a surprise to me. I put it there. I make men mute. I make men deaf. I know how they are. I know how you are. I love that Moses says, "I'm not an eloquent speaker." And God says, "I made your mouth, Moses. I know what kind of speaker you are. So you know what you're going to do? You're going to go. And I'll be with your mouth. And I'll tell you what to say." Look, what do we learn from Moses' excuse here about not being a good speaker? Here's the thing that I would encourage you to learn, and what we all need to learn, is how to rest in how God has fearfully and wonderfully made us, including our limitations, and learn to rest in the fact that God is with us no matter what. You may not be the most eloquent speaker. I certainly am not the most eloquent speaker. I don't know if you, I was deathly afraid of crowds. in high school and even in college. I took a speech class in college at Shelton State Community College. It was literally the first time I'd ever been in front of people, and it was I had the nervous sweats. I was so scared of it. Don't worry about your limitations. And don't use, here's the thing that I think we should get from Moses' conversation with God here and what God says to him, is don't use your limitations as an excuse for why God can't use you. Your limitations are not an excuse for God not being able to use you. God can use anyone. He wants to use you. And he even uses a guy here to be his mouthpiece for the people of Israel and the people of Egypt who has a speech impediment of some sort. Because here's the point. The point is, it's not the power of Moses that's going to lead the people out of Egypt. It is the power of God that's going to lead the people out of Egypt. And so God is using a man here in this moment and in this time that it is certain that as God uses him, only God's going to get the credit for that. Only God's going to get... Moses is not going to be convincing people that they should follow him out of Egypt. God is going to speak through a broken, limited vessel to accomplish his purposes, much like he does today. So when you think about talking to a friend or a loved one or a neighbor or a classmate about Jesus and about maybe about God's word or about what you believe, and you say, I don't have all the answers, I'm not a good speaker, what if they ask me a question I don't know? Man, read this in Moses and say, look, God uses people that don't have it all together. God uses people with limitations. Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made, God wants to use us. And as he uses us, he's going to cause us to trust him more. Psalm 139, just as a reminder, in case you have identity issues, okay? In case you came in here not feeling pretty or not feeling smart or feeling unworthy, I know that's the case. All right, and man, if I could encourage you with anything, it would be God uses Moses because he is a powerful God, and because Moses is fearfully and wonderfully made by God, even with his speech impediment. And you, fearfully and wonderfully made by God, even with whatever limitations that you see that you have, you're fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Perfectly made as God intended on you to be. Psalm 139. David says, for you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. And I would encourage, may your soul know that well, and may your soul cause your brain to know that well. That you are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Keep reading. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Don't use your limitations to be an excuse for why God can't use you. Learn that from Moses and what God tells him. God says, I made your mouth, I know your mouth, I make all mouths, okay? And I'm going to be with your mouth, and I'm going to tell you what to say. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And then finally, again, you would think Moses' response to that would be, such a great answer, God. You made my mouth, I wouldn't have thought about that. That was a good comeback to that one. But that's not his response. Verse 13. Some of you need to underline this because this has been your verse for your whole life, okay? And it doesn't need to be. But he said, oh Lord, please send somebody else. You ever feel like that? God, that's awesome. Would you send somebody else though? Because I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Oh Lord, please send someone else. Chapter 3, verse 4, God calls out to him and says, Moses, Moses. And Moses says, here I am, Lord. Here I am. And chapter 4, verse 13, he says, send somebody else because I don't want to go. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. not a response you want, right? And he said, is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know he can speak well. Behold, he's coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I'll teach you both what to do. I love that. I'll be with your mouth, I'll be with his mouth, and tell you both what you need to do. He's going to speak to you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. You shall tell him what to say, and he's going to say it, just like I'm going to do to you. And don't forget, take your hand this in your hand the staff, which shall be a sign, a way to show them the signs. Here I am, send someone else. Three things I want you to see there. The Lord's anger is kindled against Moses. Well, again, because of disobedience, because of lack of faith, Moses, God's anger is kindled against him, but he doesn't stay there. God's anger is kindled against him, and then God's grace is given to him. He sends Aaron alongside him, and God reminds him, Moses, of the signs and wonders he's going to do through him. Now, what do we learn? What do we learn from the story of Moses? Man, my prayer for me is that I would look at the excuses that Moses gives, whether he says, man, God, I'm a nobody. See if any of these resonate in your heart. God, I'm a nobody. God says, I know you're a nobody, but I am God, and I'm going to send you, and I have all the authority in heaven and earth, so I'm sending you. And he says, what am I? I don't know what to say. God says, I'm going to tell you what to say. I'm going to give you what to say. God gives us what to say by the power of his word. Through his spirit, he shows us what to say and how to work and in the authority that he gives. He says, man, they're not going to believe me. God says, yeah, they will. They're going to believe you because I'm going to be working in the middle of that. I'm going to be working. I'm going to be accomplishing these things. But he says, man, God, I'm not a real good speaker. And God says, I know you're limited. I know you don't have it all together. You don't have a wealth of knowledge. You're not the greatest orator in the world. But here's the good news. I'm going to be with your mouth, and I'm going to tell you what to say. And Moses then says, God, I really don't want to go. And God says, oh, you're going. You're going. And I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to be with Aaron, and I'm going to give you these signs and wonders to do. And I pray that as we see that, if you need a list of excuses about why not to do something, come see me. I'm full of them. But my prayer is, as we see the truth of God and the work of God in Moses, that we would set aside our excuses as well. We say, God, what am I doing? Why do I come up with this excuse after excuse after school? You tell me that you want me to be a minister of reconciliation. You tell me that we are ambassadors for Christ, that you are making your appeal through us. We're supposed to go out into this place and be the mouthpiece of God, the representative of God before the people, to preach the gospel, to share the good news of Christ, to be salt and light in this world. God, help me set aside my excuses. So how do we do that? How do we set aside our excuses? I would tell you, we need to look to someone greater than Moses, okay? To someone greater than Moses. Because Moses, great man of God, imperfect man of God, but I would encourage you that we need to look to Jesus Christ, who is a truer and better Moses. He's going to end up being a good leader. He's just not a real good leader in this passage, right? You read this and you're like, that's not really the guy I want leading me. This is the guy that God is going to send to lead the people out of Egypt into the promised land? It's because God's doing a work in him. And I would pray we would look to Jesus, who doesn't make excuses, who doesn't set aside things, who, for the joy set before him, endures the cross. Jesus, and Paul explains in Philippians chapter 2. Learn from Moses' excuse. Learn from the instructions. Learn from the warnings. And then look to Jesus. And have the attitude in yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, being in very form God, did not consider equality with God something that you could attain to or grasp. So what does he do? He kenosis. He empties himself. Taking on the form of a servant, being found in the likeness of men, being found in human form, Jesus doesn't make excuses. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So you got Moses giving excuses, and you got Jesus emptying himself, being obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. It is through the power of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you and I can set aside our excuses and look to him. Man, my prayer, my prayer is that, because look, when you go to Nepal, it's easy to share the gospel with Bensi, the lady in the village that you talk to. You know why? You don't know her, right? Don't know her, literally will probably never see her again, right? It's easy to share the gospel with her. It's kind of easy to share the gospel in the airport because I don't know these people, right? I'm on a mission trip, for goodness sake, and I'm the preacher. Like, there's a level of expectation there, I think. You know, it's who is hard to share the gospel with? The guy that lives across the street from me. It's hard, right? The people whose kids play on my son's baseball team or our flag football team, which wasn't any good this year. Those people, it's hard to share the gospel with those people. You know why? Day in, day out interaction. And look, make tons of excuses for why I don't do that. I don't want to scare them off. They know I'm a preacher. If they got questions, they can ask me. I can fill in an excuse. I can give you any excuse in the world you want. And I'm telling you, they are all worthless. Because by the power of God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, he has called us to be ministers of reconciliation in this town and to the ends of the earth. And so my prayer is that I would learn from the excuses that Moses gave and go, man, God, help me not to be this way. Help me not to make excuses, but help me to see the opportunity that you are giving me every single day to be salt and light, to invest in people and invite them to Christ and know you. God, help me build relationships well with these people for the sake of the gospel, not for the sake of building a church, but for the sake of people being transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your beloved Son through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's my prayer for me, and that's my prayer for you. God, help us lay down our excuses. So here's what I want you to think about, and we're going to take communion and remember Christ through communion. If you were to write down on your bulletin here, all right, down on the comments card, because you're probably not going to turn that in, or if you are going to turn it in, write it somewhere else, all right? What is your go-to excuse that God wants to remove from your vocabulary when it comes to being the salt and light he's called you to be? What's your go-to excuse? You're like, I don't got a bunch of them, man. I don't know which one. I want you to write one of them down somewhere, okay? Maybe now, maybe as we pass out the elements, and write that down and ask God, God, help me remove this from my mind and from my life. This is my go-to excuse is why I am not being the salt and light you've called me to be in my world. So God, help me remove this from my vocabulary and help me remove this from my heart so that I can be the minister of reconciliation you've called me to be in this world. Would you join me as we pray together? So Father, I do thank you this morning for your word. I pray God, you'd help us. That just like Moses needed your help here, we need your help. Because we're full of excuses. That are so lame. Like Moses, like God, when we read that, you're like, Moses' excuses are so lame. Yet, he continued to give them. And our excuses for not being the salt and light you've called us to be, they are so lame, yet we just keep dropping them. Just drop it, drop it, drop it. And what it reveals in us is the same thing it revealed in Moses, Lord, that we don't trust you. We don't trust you the way you are worth trusting. And so, God, I pray for myself, what we sang earlier, Oh, for grace to trust you more. God, help me trust you more to remove these excuses so that I can more faithfully be a minister of reconciliation on my street and in my area of influence, God. Give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, and give us boldness to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we take this communion, I pray that it would be a reminder to us of the sacrifice you've made to adopt us into your family. And I pray these things in Jesus' name.